Okay, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer before we start. Let's bow our heads. Let's just quieten our hearts for a while, even as we decide, as we listen to His word, even as He provokes us and guides us. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You. Thank You for this opportunity that You have allowed us to hear Your word. Lord, even as You speak to us, Lord, minister unto us. Holy Spirit, enter in our lives. Minister unto us. Challenge us. Help us to see where we need to change, where we need to adapt, where we need to learn, and where we need to serve You differently. Even as we hear Your word, Lord, let this time be honoring You and remembering Your goodness in our lives, and You will shape our life accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Right. Friends, thank you. Again, we are in a series called Work Redeemed. You know, one of the things that I really like about our design team that puts together the scheme for each of the sermon series is how they decide to bring the series alive. If you look at the O, it's a fingerprint with a root. So I like this a lot because it's a reminder our identity is rooted in God. And there are two verses that always I look at when I look at this that reminds me, maybe when you have time, you can have a look at it. It's Psalm 1:1-3 and Jeremiah 17:7-8 talks about how a tree is fruitful when it's actually rooted by the river and the river keep refreshing it. Yeah, so that image always reminds me of that. Now, if I were to look at work redeemed, what does that mean for me, right? For me, I think, how do I look at work redeemed for me is how God is using each one of us in our work as an act of worship to Him, number one. Number two, is also a place where we actually bring God's value into our work environment, into our scenarios, into where we are, and allow God to use us to be a blessing to others. And it's a way that we can actually honor God. That's how I read when I look at work redeemed. So today, we are actually in our second part of the series on multiplication. Yeah, before I go to the series, allow me to just do a quick introduction. Pastor already shared about my team, my family, and that's my children, Timothy, Abigail, and my wife, Deborah, is sitting there. And that's our family, LG, in Cyberjaya. You know, I shared before once when I was sharing here, we have something like 11 nationality or coming to church at any one time in Cyberjaya. So it's one of those really melting pots that you get to see different cultures, different, different lifestyles that people bring because of who they are as a nationality. So, you know, when you do have time, I do like to invite you guys, when you come to Cyberjaya, beside enjoying the nice parks, 4:30 p.m. on Sunday evenings when we have our service in Deep Pulse, do join us. You get to get a different feel on how a melting pot could look like. Yeah. Now, we are on four topics under this series. This is the second one. I do want to encourage each one of you to stay together with us in this series because I do believe the different topics that this series bring on influencing stewardship will make a difference in our lives. Yeah, allow me to share with everyone the anchor verse for this series. It's from Genesis 1:27-28, and it goes something like this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living things that move on earth. Friends, if you look at Bible, this is one of the first blessings that the Lord pronounced over the human race. We are called to be fruitful and multiply. So it's very inept that we actually look at how do we multiply for God today. So when I was actually preparing, the Lord led me to this passage or this parable, the parable of the talents. And the parable of talents in Matthew sits in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And if you look at Matthew 24 and 25 together, the disciples were basically asking the Lord to share with them what the end of times will look like. So while the Lord was sharing how judgment everything looks like, In Matthew 25, he shared two parables. The first one being about 10 bridesmaids that was waiting for the bride to come. And he said about 5 being prepared and another 5 not being prepared. So the Lord, in even through the end, when he was sharing the end of time, he was telling that we need to be prepared. The second parable that he actually shared was the parable of talent. And the parable of talent is all about how we are being fruitful for him and how we are actually multiplying for him. In the parable, we will see there is 3 servants that the master gave them each some coins. The first one being 5, the second one being 3, and the third one being 1. And he said, look, I'm going away for a long time. When I come, I would like to see what you've done with them. The first one actually grew it by another 5, the second one by another 3, and the last one hit the 1 coin. And when he hit the 1 coin, when the master came, the first one said, here, master, you gave me 5, I've grown another 5. So the master told the servant, well done, servant. So you deserve to be part of this kingdom and to actually be blessed and also rule this kingdom together with me. Similarly, he told the third one. However, the first one came and said, master, master, I know you're a very difficult boss. I know you're a very shrewd guy. So I decided to hide your 1 cent in the soil. Here is the 1 cent. And the master said, oh, this is what you tell me. And he said, you are such a lazy servant that does not want to grow what I've given you. So he took the 1 coin and he gave it to the one who had 5 coins and said, chase this guy out of my kingdom. He doesn't deserve to be here. So why this parable is very critical for us today, friends? The Lord actually is telling us, look, when I come for the second time when I come and when I judge, what will I find? Will I find a group of people who's procrastinating and doing nothing and said, Lord, you told me to wait, so I decided to wait? Or will you find a group of people that actually reflect back on what the Lord called in Genesis, the blessing that the Lord gave, which is to go out and multiply and be fruitful? So friends, that is exactly the challenge that we have today. So while I was preparing this, the Lord gave me 3 principles that he wants us to actually look at, meditate on, and try to see how it can actually influence our life. The first principle that the Lord gave me was everything that we have in our life is given by God, including the work that we have. Now, I know when I say, sometimes when we say the work that we have is also given by God, a lot of time will say, why you put me in such a difficult position? Why did you give me such a difficult job? Why did you give me an environment that's very, very difficult? Why do you put me in a situation that I am tested every day? Why am I pushed in a situation where I'm stretched so much that sometimes it's so difficult? But friends, I just want to assure you, even if you look at the Bible, the roles that Jesus gave or God gave his people were not easy roles. If you look at Joshua, the role that he gave him to lead after Moses was to keep the clans together, was to actually have the wars in Canaan to evict the people that was there. He had to go through a challenge where his own people actually dropped the ball by not obeying what God commanded, and he lost a battle. Later on, he had a group of people who tried to cheat him by saying they come from a very far distance, this and that. So if you read, you'll notice that even his role that he was given, it was never an easy role. And if you look at Moses, 40 years he had to tend to shepherd. Yeah, when he was 40, he was a prince, but he never accomplished what God wanted him to do because he wanted to do it in his way. God sent him to be trained 40 years to be a shepherd, assuming one sheep has a life cycle of 7 years to birth, this and that. That would have been at least 5 or 6 cycles that he had to shepherd a group where he had to learn patience, the difficulty of shepherding, because the next 40 years involved shepherding a very good, great people. If you look at David, he was anointed even before he fought Goliath. But for 15 years, friends, he was trained in the desert. not as a warrior, not as a king to be ready, but as a fugitive that was chased by King Saul. So when we look at some of these roles that the Lord has given, it is never a role that is in a bed of roses. So sometimes when we look at it, when we look at our earthly lens, we see the difficulty in it. But when we look with the lens that the Lord gives us and allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead us to look at the roles that He has given us, we see a different light. And the light is, I have given this to you because I intend to use this role to do my greatness through you. That's the first principle that I would like us to look at, friends. The second one is all about, we are called to multiply. So when we know that the role is given by God, it's not for us to sit and do nothing. It's about called to multiply. So when we are called to multiply, what does that mean for us? See, when we are called to multiply, the way I see is this. The talents, the gift, and everything that we have in our life is actually given by God. Even the education that we have, even the experiences that we get. So when we combine all these things and we are called to multiply, if we do not multiply, we actually limit God. And when we limit God, He is not able to use our talents and gift for His purpose and to multiply who we are even further. So just to illustrate this, right? When Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, and the Pharaoh said, you take them and go. Right at the edge of Red Sea, the Egyptian soldiers were chasing him from one end. The Israelites were basically blaming him and saying, you brought us to death. You should have just left us there. And at this time, when he cried out to the Lord told him, be still and see how I multiply through you and how I win wars for you. And all he had to do was lift his staff, and the Red Sea opened, the people crossed, and the Egyptian army was actually buried by the sea itself. Now, when we look at this, right, because Moses did not resist and did not limit the Lord, he just obeyed and asked God to do within the capacity he was given, he enjoyed a great victory today, that day. Similarly to us, friends, many times when we are called to multiply, when we do not resist the Lord and in difficult circumstances, I'm sure He will multiply us indifferently. Even in my own life, just to share a little bit of testimony, when I was in 2020, the gentleman who hired me in year 2020, the right of the middle of pandemic, he decided to go for a different organization. And my president at the time gave me the opportunity to take over. So when I took over, the regional team was made about 50 people, and in a period of 6 months, I lost about 24 people, because pandemic being pandemic, people have different sets of values, different things that they were looking for. So bit by bit, people started moving up. And during that time, my only prayer with the Lord was, use us to bring the right type of people you think is necessary for this one. And by God's grace, we did multiply. Yeah? Not only me, my team, we became very successful because we brought in different style of people, and all those was through the wisdom of the Lord pointing us who we should actually bring in for different roles. Prior to that, it was pretty much different names, but the way of thinking was pretty much the same. So that is a refreshment that the Lord gave, even though it was very difficult, but the Lord provided, because I believe when we prayed and when we actually asked, He provided the way for it, just to share. So sometimes, you know, when I also realize, when we reflect, even including myself, when I reflect, in certain situations, our biggest problem is we want everything to be perfect. Then only we want to do something. But the Lord teaches us this. We are never perfect on our own. We are never fully equipped. We are never fully knowing. We are never fully understanding the situation without the Lord. The only way we are perfect is when the Lord is in that situation and when He makes it perfect through us. Yeah? On our own, we will never be perfect. With the Lord taking charge, it will be perfect. So that's one of the things that I've also learned. So don't wait for the right perfect moment. Let's move forward and trust the Lord, and He will make a difference. So I just want to share two handles that I've learned. Even from this parable, even from my own experience, is this. When we trust in the Lord, how do I actually allow Lord to work in that situation and not limit Him? Two things. We have to remember the spirit that the Lord put in us. It's not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. We spent a lot of time last year through a series that we looked at this verse itself. Number two, it's all about faith in Him. The Lord Jesus tells us a small faith of a small mustard seed can actually move mountains. So when we believe that the role is given by God, when we know that the Spirit in us is provoking and saying, go to the Lord, the answer is in the Lord. That faith that we go to the Lord will pull these things together and will not limit the Lord working in the situation. And when that happens, friends, we will see the multiplication the way He decides to do. And again, I also want to challenge us. Sometimes when we look at multiplication, we tend to look at it from a financial perspective alone. I would suggest, look at your surrounding, look at our environment, look at how we live our lives, look at what the Lord blesses us in differently, maybe relationships, maybe peace that we never had, maybe a family growth that we never had before, or maybe even a situation where people just come and say, thank you. Those are the measures of multiplication that is kingdom measured rather than necessarily purely financial. I'm not saying that the Lord will not bless us financially when we do all this. He will. But then it comes to the next point. What do we do with the blessings that we have? Yeah? Now, the third principle that I would like to share, friends, with everyone is we got to pour it out and not hoard it. When the Lord blesses us, why does He bless us? When the Lord multiplies in our lives, why does He multiply? It's only for one purpose, for us to be a continuous blessing for others. It is never about hoarding and keeping it. So today, and it's never about the amount of what we can bless. It's our heart position. If we have something in our lives, are we willing to share? See, I grew up in a time where when I joined the industry, this is where you have the mini sifus, big sifus and all those things that always keep something and they will never give you. Yeah? And as a result, we all end up suffering or finding it very difficult to learn it the hard way because you make mistakes before you arrive. So one of the things that I learned from those experiences, whatever you give. Because when you give, your tank becomes empty, the Lord fills you with more things, and your knowledge and your wisdom expands. Yeah? Not only that, but you also realize, instead of going back at 10 o'clock at night, you end up going back at 5 o'clock, because instead of 1 or 2 person know how to do, you've got 5, 6 people who know how to do. Your life becomes a little bit more easier. So don't hold back blessings, friend. Whatever you have, pour it out. Yeah? Jesus also said that in a very nice parable. There was this guy who wanted to build silos to keep all his riches because he thought, I'm successful, I can retire. The Lord said, fool, tomorrow you die, what are you going to do with everything that you have? That's the challenge for us. We don't know what holds us tomorrow, but we do know today the Lord calls us to pour out whatever that we have. So how can I bring these three principles together, right? So if I were to bring these three principles together, the one person's life that we could actually emulate is actually Joseph. See, when Joseph was young, the father, Jacob, loved him a lot. So as a result, he got a nice little coat. And imagine, he was naive, but he was very prideful at that time. He told his brothers, you guys are going to bow with me. Yeah, basically, that's the dream that he got. So his brothers say, you want us to bow with you? It's okay, we'll ship you out to Egypt. And that's what happened to him. He was shipped out to Egypt. And that's where he learned to be a slave with brilliance working for Potiphar. And it was a comfort. There was prosperity. He had good life, everything. However, the Lord said, you're not ready yet. And because of that, temptation came in his life through the form of Potiphar's wife. And he fled from the temptation. As a result of fleeing from the temptation, the master, the Potiphar, didn't say, well done, servant. He sent him to prison. Yeah? And when he was in prison, what did he learn? He learned to administrate again, but he learned to administrate with what little he had in the prison and how to be fair to everyone. And at the same time, the talent and gift he had an opportunity to keep it to himself and say, I'm not going to tell the wine, the cupbearer or the baker what the Lord, what their dreams were. But he did tell. He didn't hold back even in the little that he had. And as a result of that, we know the story, what happened. He became a prime minister of Egypt that changed lives. Now, when I look at what Joseph had to go through, right, what I see, in that process of multiplying Joseph and changing the ropes that he had for God's work, God put him in circumstances and situations that were never easy. But he learned influence. And he learned how to adapt and be agile in every circumstances. He learned to be resilient when he was put in prison and he was given little. And yet he was asked to do things fairly for all the prisoners. He fled when he was tempted. He learned to adapt in very difficult situations. With little, do the best. And he kept the faith. And he kept the faith and he held on to the promises of the Lord gave him. And he kept looking at the Lord. And at the right time, he was made number two in the whole of land of Egypt. And when you look through his life, we realize, you know, he not only saved Egypt, not only saved the Israelites, but he saved multitude of nations that were around them and also be a blessing to generations that come because of one act that he did. And to do that act of leading Egypt during the famine, it was a preparation of difficult journey. And that's the same preparation we will go through in our multiplication process. So lastly, friend, this is my last slide. Paul, I think, summarized it very well in 2 Corinthians 9, 10 to 12, when he said, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. So whatever the Lord give us, yeah, the roles that he has given us, he will supply whatever that we need. And he will ensure that we multiply in a way that he wants us to multiply. And his righteousness will shine through us. And when that happens, Lord, what do? We continue to bless others. And that's what we are called to do. So maybe what we can do is in our quiet time, just a couple of questions where we can actually reflect and see how the Lord is impacting our life today. Yeah, number one, maybe we could ask ourselves, how are we treating the provisions that the God has given in our lives? What abilities that we have today that we are actually maximizing for the Lord? What are we trying to minimize because we don't want the Lord to maximize in our life because of fear, because of the lack of confidence that we may have in ourselves, or maybe even we're waiting for the perfect circumstances. Lastly, what are we hoarding? Are we really hoarding, or are we multiplying the blessing that we have by blessing others? So maybe we bow down very quickly and just close this with a word of prayer, and then we can go on to dialogue. Father, we just want to thank you that you allowed us to look at how our lives need to be influenced by your multiplication. Even as we pray now, Lord, I just ask each one of our hearts, you will open and you'll speak to us, you'll provoke us, and you will make us ask the necessary questions in our lives and say, here I am, Lord, for you. Multiply me for your purpose and your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you, friends.